Good evening.
Good evening.
It's so nice to be here. You grew up down the street from Tammy. Her and I have known each other since we were about 4 or 5 years old. We were a lot smaller back then, in more ways than one, but that's okay. But the thing that I always remember is that Tammy was a faithful person even back then. And I remember that she was an example. I didn't used to be an example. I was somebody who lived a little bit of a rough past and who did some stupid things. But then when I was in my middle years, I say my middle years, I hope they're early middle years. When I was in my 30s, God started using me in the church to do different things, to be a deacon and to work with the minister and to do some of those kind of things. I felt the call to ministry when I was 36 years old. And so I came to Lincoln Christian College, as it was known then. It's Lincoln Christian University now. But I came there in 96. And I believe it was in August of 97 that I got put on the pulpit supply list because I had taken enough preaching classes that they felt sure that I wouldn't mess up and make the school look bad. Well, the first week I got to Texas Christian Church, I came and I remember there was one person in me. I don't remember who that person was. It might have been Irene. But that one person and me, we had Sunday school, we had communion, we had music, we had a sermon, we had an invitation, if you can believe that. And that was special to me, that me and one person could share those things. And so when the college asked me to continue coming out, and I came another couple, three times, and lo and behold, more people showed up. It was an amazing thing. And they asked me to stay and be their minister, and I told them I could do it part-time. And so I went to college full-time from 97 until the end of 2000. I was the minister here, and there were some transitions that happened during that time. There were some special things that happened during that time. I remember the love of this congregation was so strong that it sent me out into ministry knowing that this is what I was supposed to do. I know at first when I came, I had just had back surgery that June. And so I'm walking with two canes. And you know what? I hurt real bad all the time for 3 years after that surgery, but it was only when I was in the pulpit, this pulpit here, I would set those canes up on the edges and the pain would go away. And I could preach. I'd go to leave the pulpit, the pain would come back, I'd grab my canes and I'd hobble down the steps and give the invitation. And you know what? Those moments of pain-free living meant the world to me. I've been all over since then. I've been in Alabama serving a church down there, all the way down by Mobile. I've been in Ohio. I've been in southern Illinois. I've been in South Dakota. And every place that I've been a minister, this church helped prepare me for. So it's with all that training that I come. I've been in ministry for 18 years now, and I hope to remain in ministry until I can't get up or talk anymore. I don't ever intend to retire. Unless God tells me, fool, get out of the pulpit. And he might, knowing me. But I want to help prepare our hearts this evening. So I'm going to start by asking a few questions. What are you doing this evening after church? Think about that for just a second. What are your plans? Are you going to go home and watch the rest of the football game? That is, provided I don't talk too long. Will you maybe spend some time with family this evening? Will you go home and, I don't know, get the grandkids or the great-grandkids ready for bed? Maybe tuck them in. If you feel real adventurous, you could go to the mall and see what's on sale this week down in Decatur. I know that's a little bit of a trip. And if I don't wrap this up soon, you won't get there in time. What would you say if I were to tell you that you should look for a way to show mercy? I'll let that sink in. Jesus spoke of this very topic for us to see this evening. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Verses 25 through 37. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. While you're turning there, I want you to also stop and think once you get there, stop and think for a minute of something. Think of someone who has betrayed the faith. Can you think of somebody that's betrayed the faith? Can you think of somebody who has betrayed you too? Think about that. Somebody who's betrayed the faith and has betrayed you too. Now we're going to read Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, and you're going to see what I mean when I say that we should look for ways to show mercy. Many of you know this parable. It says, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. You know, the more I read this, there are things that jump out on the page when I read this. I'm sure that God wants us to see what He has in mind for us this evening from this scripture. First off, I think God wants us to see that we are not nearly as sympathetic as we think we are. Should I say that again? That sounds judgmental, doesn't it? Sounds like I'm going, slap! I don't mean to slap. I mean to nudge just a little bit. How do I know that? Jesus says so in this parable. We've all heard the parable of the Good Samaritan before. We've all heard what ministers say it means. We've all heard how ministers apply it to us, right? And we all say, okay, I've heard this one before, Dave. What do you have for me tonight? Well, here's something that I have for us tonight. As I was reading this, it struck me how little the people from the church cared about their fellow man. I'm not talking this church. I'm talking God's church. The man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which means he had been in the temple worshiping. He was somebody who was a Jew who belonged to the Jews. Somebody who belonged there, probably had gone and made his sacrifices, had asked the priest to make atonement for him. Somebody who had been there and worshiped in the temple. And this is somebody who, leaving, falls into the hands of some ne'er-do-wells. But you know what I really saw in this? And the thing that really struck me in this, it says in verse 31, by chance a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I've been a minister for 18 years, and you know what really struck me about that? The priest was going down the road, down the hill, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. The priest was finished with his tour of duty, if you will. He was finished with his course in the temple, and he was on his way home. He didn't have anything he had to stop for. Nothing due. It wasn't going to make him unclean to serve in the temple if he stopped and helped this man. It wasn't going to make him unnecessary in the temple if he stopped and helped this man. What did he do? He took off. Right? He walked over to the other side of the road. I don't want anything to do with that. That looks dangerous. Some would say that this was the minister in the church. I have to say, while I was here, I did not take every chance I had to minister to people, especially on my way home. I didn't care as much as I should have. Maybe you didn't either. I don't know. Then there's the deacon in the church or the elder in the church. It's called the Levite. Where's he going? From Jerusalem to Jericho. He's going away from the temple himself. He's done with his service in the temple. He's on his way home. You know what he does? Very same thing. Oh, folks. This tells me maybe we don't care as much as we think we do about the people out there. What do you think? But this Samaritan, and you've all heard the background on the Samaritans, haven't you? How Samaritans were those that had lived in a different area, in a region north of Jerusalem. They lived in a little place. Well, it was about 60 miles north, and they had their own mountain, Mount Moriah, that they felt they needed to worship on. And so they worshiped God on a different mountain, not in Jerusalem. Can you remember at the beginning I asked you to think of somebody who had turned their back on the faith? That's what those nasty Samaritans were. They'd turned their back on God. They worshiped him somewhere else. Not only that, when the Israelites were taken into exile, well, some of them who were left behind, other people came in and began to live there. They married with them. They had kids with them and grandkids and great-grandkids with them. They intermingled with them. So they weren't true Jews anymore. Well, we can't associate with them. They're not true Jews. They're not true Christians, right? Let me ask you. Do we do like the Israelites did? Do we go around the territory of non-believers so that we don't have to go through it and maybe feel icky because of it? Do we have certain parts of town we avoid? I have to say, Tammy and I grew up in a part of town some people avoided. And I still go back there. I was back there earlier this week, caring for my mother. And not the best things have happened in that neighborhood. But you know what? I remember where I came from. I remember what living there was like. I'm sure she does too. And even though we're born again, there's still that little bit of something inside that tells you maybe we're the Samaritans. I don't know. Because there were those who didn't like us because we lived across the tracks. And then I think, how can I really drive this home and really tell you what the people felt about the Samaritans, except to say that Samaritans were like the modern day Harley riders with the tattoos all up and down their arms, up on their necks, some on their face maybe. With the real long beards, the real long hair, they smell like gas and oil, maybe like weed. It's the truth, some do. And can you imagine us driving in Decatur and going down by 21st Street in El Dorado? You know where I mean, right? Mm-hmm. And seeing somebody hurt and driving on. You think maybe if a biker was going through, he might stop and help him? Maybe get on his cell phone, call an ambulance. When the ambulance gets there, he pays the fare at the ambulance, says this, take him to the hospital, gives the guy $400 or $500 to take with him to the hospital to help pay the bill. Can you imagine that? Somebody that we look down on because we don't understand where they're coming from. Somebody that maybe we think worships someone other than the God we worship. They can't worship the God we worship. They smell like cigarettes and pot. But can you imagine if they're the hero to Jesus? What's that do to us? What's that make us if we pass on by? So I'm going to finish with just a few more questions. We need to do some soul searching. We need to ask ourselves, what would happen if we were to go to the bad section of Decatur, find the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, the pimps, the crackheads, and cared for them? What would that say about our God and His love for everybody? And what would that do in their life? I have to say, Jesus met me when I was in a bad place. Jesus took me in through some men who were rough as cobs. Those guys would bench press 400 pounds. That's where I met him, out working out. I couldn't bench press that much. Still can't. But you know what I learned? God can use anybody. And the man who married Patty and I, if you took one look at him, you'd have swore he rode in on his Harley. And he had the tattoos from his neck all the way down to his fingertips. And he was intense, but you know what? He was intense for God. That's why he was the one who married Patty and I. And he wants to use you tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. To meet somebody at their point of need and offer them a hand up. Not a hand out, a hand up. He wants you to offer them the opportunity to get back on their feet again. How do I know? Verse 37, Jesus says, go and do the same. I can't add any more to that. I can't tell you any more to do. And I'm just going to leave you with those words. Go and do the same.